I try to like subtly let the bell go, but then, you know, who knows? Who knows what you're hearing, right? I just always remember Steve had, oh, he's not on here. Steve had gotten these bells and he was ringing them on the Zoom, and we literally couldn't hear them because there's a setting in the audio that if you set it to not pick up something, it literally, you hear nothing. And he had set it so we couldn't hear his dogs or something like that. And he's ringing these bells and we're all in, it's a Thursday night group. We're all listening and nobody's hearing a sound. And so, at any rate, what I would like to do now is to, you know, talk a little bit about the RIPA class, because, you know, in its own way, that was a huge part of your curriculum. Everybody was in it. And there was a lot of stuff covered in there that, I mean, of a real practical nature, but it also included a lot of teaching. And so what I would be curious to know is, if you folks understand, you know, what Ramon was talking about in that class yesterday, which was really quite remarkable. Quite a remarkable class. If you understand what the difference between the rain, as you know, we originally taught it, and what we did, how we have adapted that for the anxiety. And I wanted to make one important point, which was that Kathleen, at the end of the class, you brought up the N for neutral witness. And I didn't want to go into it in the class, but neutral witness is the way it was originally taught. That's the way Michelle McDonald taught it. But it's not been effective, which is why it got changed to nurture, because neutral witness is actually a very advanced concept.
Yeah. Okay.
And so what we found is that working with people, nurture is much more effective in helping people actually deal with the witness. I mean, deal with the emotion and the sensation. Let's nurture it. Let's make it a safe, comfortable place. You go into neutral witness, and that's back in this intellectual approach. Let me just be up here and observe it, which is really important, but it's not a skill we as Westerners actually really have. It's when we are slowly developing.
So one of the analogies that helped me with that is, you know, everybody's familiar with the elf on the shelf, you know, that they use for kids. And that's what I do. I put myself up on the shelf and watch what's going on.
Yeah.
But that analogy was what finally triggered it for me. So if that helps anybody, that's how I was able to finally start looking at it that way, because I couldn't grasp the concept for so long.
You couldn't nurture? You couldn't nurture?
No, I could nurture, but I could nurture myself, but becoming part of the neutral witness to me is also understanding all these other points of views, and that just because I'm upset about something, right? Because I have a strong belief about something that, and somebody else has the opposite. They're just as strong about their belief as I am about my belief type thing. I couldn't see that before. I couldn't understand why people didn't think the way I did, right? Does that make sense?
It does, but let's not confuse things here. So the rain technique is a real specific, rain is a specific purpose.
Okay.
The rain technique is literally training us to not run away from an intense emotion. That's its purpose.
Okay.
Because our tendency as Westerners is to want to come up into our head and figure something out. And what happens is that I was talking to somebody last night, so much trauma in her life, and talks about it and goes, but it's fine. and acknowledging that she has no connection to her emotions. There was no discussion of emotion in her family. There's no training how to do it. And so it's talk, talk. It's fine. And she just happened to be here. We have a birthday tradition in our family where we stop and each person just shares what they like or they love about the birthday person. And it was Natalie's birthday yesterday. And this person happened to be a guest of somebody else who was here. And she was like, what the fuck? They're talking about emotion. Whoa. And it was really, really fascinating to watch her ability to, she knows, I mean, she's obviously had a lot of therapy. She knows there's, she doesn't have it. She doesn't go there. This is different from my family. And, but there is still no ability to go into an emotion. That's a ways down the line. And so RAIN is a technique, as we've talked about, right? It's like, how do I remember what to do in the moment? RAIN. You do it enough times, you start to realize. Recognize I'm having a sensation in my body. Because if we don't experience emotion, we don't even know there's anything going on in our body. I mean, a lot of you started there, right? I don't even know there's anything going on in my body. I started there. I didn't know there's anything going down in my body. What? There's an emotion in my body? No, I have an emotion. But finding the sensation in the body and being able to let go of the story, that is a profound skill. And it's taking everything we thought we had as a coping skill and going, oh, you missed the most important piece. Your body is your tool. Pay attention to your body. And if you can stay in your body is not just the tool that's experiencing it. Your body is also the way through to heal and balance it, right? So RAIN is recognize I'm even having something in my body. A, allow it to be there, as we've talked about a lot in the class. Absolutely counterintuitive. Nothing about it we want to do. But, oh, wait a minute. Let me allow it. Investigate. In the RAIN technique is stay with just the sensation. Tara Brach was so clear. It's not about the cause. The training of RAIN is to stay in the body, period. And, oh, there's a nickel size sensation there. Oh, it's a little different to the right. I mean, really investigate the sensation and then just nurture it. Just nurture it. Just nurture it. Learn how to be kind to yourself. Learn how to be there for yourself. That specifically RAIN. So that's RAIN. That's RAIN. Okay. Then when we brought it into our RIPA class, it was okay. Now we do want to investigate what's underneath it because we've learned that there's the mind, there's the samskaras, and there's the vasanas, right? And the vasanas, as we said, are the vasanas are that foundational deep, deep thought that is affecting everything. And so we've taken what is RAIN, and we've expanded it, not because Karen had this brilliant idea, but because in meditation world, that's what we do. So this is the important thing here. RAIN is a specific technique with a specific purpose. What we did in the RIPA class was we said, okay, now in meditation land, we take it a step further. And we, now that we've balanced, we're allowing, we're in our body, once we're regulated, as Nat so beautifully demonstrated yesterday, that was just so phenomenal. Ramon, she was even commenting afterwards how grateful your question allowed that opportunity. And I think it was just so if any of you weren't on yesterday's RIPA class, I really recommend you go back and watch it. It was really quite remarkable. You know, the whole point, there are meditation techniques to take you in to discover those deeper thoughts. And if depending on how it goes in the fall, we'll get to a couple of those other ones, right? But when we're working with anxiety, we're training ourselves to come back into the body. We're training ourselves to show up. There's a point when we're regulated enough, we've been able to, we're just here in the body, that we can use that opportunity to go deep and discover what is the thought underneath everything. And that's what's different for us. And that ability to go deep has inherent within it what Kathleen was calling, that we need a part of us that can watch, a part of us that is not confused, part of us that is aware without collapsing into the emotion or the sensation. So does that bring a little clarity? Does that help a little bit? A little bit? Okay.
Yes, because I can see how I would try to just go right to being the neutral witness instead of letting the sensations ride through my body because I don't want to feel them. Oh. So it's almost like it's a step one, step two on your end, right? At that point, yeah, is stay with it, because my initial would be to run away from that uck and guck. So
yeah.
Oh, that was a huge clarification. Thank you.
Yeah. Good. Yes. 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 And which is not to say, at the retreat, we did a technique to come up here, right, to this place that we are observing from. And Kathleen, it's that same, I mean, I just love it. It's like my elf on the shelf up here. It's a spot. It's just a spot that's there, that we have that sense that we're just kind of behind and above a little bit watching, you know, and it's not disconnected from us, but it is neutral. And so this idea of the neutral witness, see, Kathleen, see, it's like you were there at the retreat. You were there, you know, it's like, it's the neutral witness that we're watching from, you know, and all of these are skills that we develop because we, different situations, we use different skills, right? So my goal is for you guys to be extremely clear on this. Because that class was so powerful. I think it's going to become where I'm going to, we can make it something that this is something HMSA offers. That's a unique approach that we have. And that's where if you guys, we train you up enough so that you can help teach that class. We need to have you really clear. This is RAIN. This is RIPA. This is what it is. This is what we're doing. So that we can have a consistency to the program. But I think that this is the kind of thing that you, as you become teachers, can offer, can help me teach, because, you know, I think as we all discovered, the smaller group, the smaller thing, it's really powerful, right? And we don't obviously need me teaching everything. So it's a lot of value in your own experiences. Yeah. April.
For the sake of that clarity of all of this, two things. When I think about the vasanas, I don't think of them as thoughts. I think of them as deep beliefs, mm-hmm, that are not thoughts yet. And the samskaras are, take the vasanas and turn them into thoughts that become patterns. And so that's how I think of it in my mind. Okay.
That's fine. That's fine. Kathleen and Lisa, when she watches the recording at the retreat center, there was this big room underneath where we did our yoga and stuff, right? And at the very center of this big room was this, what was it? Probably an 8x8 post holding up the whole upper floor, right? And where we ate meals and all of that. And I mean, it was a big room. I mean, it was, I don't know, 100 and some by, I mean, it was big. And we use that post as an example of the vasana. It's like, these are the thoughts that go through my head. These are the patterns of my thought, right? Okay. Shit. I don't know, man. My hair. I don't know what I'm going to do with this hair, guys. Steve, I'm going to have to talk to Buffy. All right. At any rate, that was a squirrel moment. Sorry. The post was an example of a vasana in that it's this fundamental core, as April just said, belief. Whether you want to call it a thought or belief is not, I'm not going to quibble with. I think however you want to understand it, so that it's just this, that the thing they use, it's a deep groove, so deep. It's like at the bottom of the lake. That's kind of how they talk about it, right? Because lakes are such an image. The thoughts and the tides are your, the waves and the, are your thoughts. This groove underneath is what shapes the whole event. And so the example I used was, so, you know, you dismantle that thought. I don't matter. I don't get to have what I want. And your whole structure of your life collapses. And so our skill in what we do is learning how to gently replace that thought with another thought so our life doesn't collapse, right? But we reframe it, we reshape it, we remodel as we, but we have to change the foundation, and we may decide we don't want one post there. We want to move it so it's not obstructing our view, and we figure out a new architecture and we build in structures around it. So, and then gently remove it. You come up with your metaphors for it, you know, but it's, but April, yeah, I think that's totally that works to call it a deep belief, deep, deep belief. Yeah. Cause that's how strong it is.
Yeah. Yeah. When I did all of my studies on, you know, child behavior and that's one of the things that would always come up is the belief behind the behavior. Mm-hmm. And so I tend to look at it that way. It's not yet a thought. That's why it's so deep. It's a belief that is, you know, created that, those grooves.
But just for the semantics of meditation world, a belief is a thought. So you can go ahead and have that because that helps you with it. But let's be really clear that all of it is thought in the meditation world that would be called a thought, but a vasana kind of thought. It's supposed to be a start. Okay. All right.
Yeah. I have another question, a thought, and it has nothing to do with that. but it's in the anxiety class early on, we talked about, it's just some notes and it came up at the retreat and I didn't ask about it. But you talked about the story of Buddha's first teaching. And there were four noble truths. And then you, at the retreat, you said it again, but they're different.
Well, so different words, but same truth. What did I say? Does anybody have the Four Noble Truths from the Repa class? The handout?
Yeah. Oh. Okay,
what is it? Yeah. What does the handout say?
Oh, I don't know if I have the handout.
Here, let me see if I, from Repa.
I just have what, yeah. I don't know where that is. I have my notes on it, and it was identify what's wrong, make a diagnosis, prescribe the medicine, follow the treatment.
Okay. So look under, okay. I'm going to share screen, guys, so you can see this. So identify what's wrong. That's our modern day talk. The first noble truth is all existence is dukkha, unsatisfactory. For decades, it was called suffering, but it's suffering is a technical term that actually just means unsatisfactory. The second noble truth is the cause of suffering is craving. I often say it, all existence is suffering. There is a cause for suffering. If you can figure out the cause, step three is figure out the cause, which is eliminate craving. And then there's a path out. There's a path out of this. And those, so you're right. I did say it a little differently, but it's all the same. It's just a different way of saying it.
So in the retreat, the Four Noble Truths you had done was equanimity, love, compassion.
No. Okay. Whoa. Yay. Okay. Good question. No, those are not, those are the four, what would we call them? Immeasurables, four boundless states. Those are, okay, great question. Let's clarify. Now I'm going between yoga and Buddhism right now, so give me a minute to just collect my, so I'm bringing the two together here. In yoga, we call it being in the sushumna, right? Sushumnic awareness, that centered, balanced place. The qualities that you experience when you're in there, am I making sense?
Mm-hmm.
Are in Buddhism known as the four boundless states, the four immeasurables. In other words, there's unlimited amount. I mean, it's like infinite. And the in yoga, they're known as the qualities. I think qualities is the word, English word. Equanimity is usually first, right? Aso. It's your child. Aso. It's not your child. Aso. Wear a mask. Aso. Don't wear a mask. Aso, right? Second one is compassion. Compassion. Compassion in the sense of seeing your connection. It's a place of deep connection, not a fix, not a judge, not a pity. It's not empathy. It's not sympathy. It's none of that stuff. It's compassion is a sense of, oh, I see myself. I'm connected here. The next one is what they call, love. But not love in the traditional sense of romantic love, but love in that unconditional love. I don't know how to say it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, we all kind of know what I'm talking about here. And then the third one is what they call sympathetic joy. Sympathetic joy, which in other words means it's not bouncing off the walls joy. It's a deep joy that it's like it just comes out of that feeling of connection. So that idea of sympathetic isn't I'm sympathy. It's a connectedness that's so deep. The other word for it would be ananda or bliss. So these are the, when you have even a moment of any of that, you're having a moment of this, what we would call in yoga, sushumnic awareness. You're in your central channel, balanced, blissful, filled with love, compassion, and joy. Great clarifying question. Great clarifying.
And this is what you were just describing is the more of the Buddhist.
Well, it's in Patanjali's Yoga Sutras, and it's the words, the four immeasurables, the four boundless states, that's the Buddhist terminology. In Patanjali, I think he calls it the qualities, which if any of you are taking the astrology class, that's going to be confusing. But, no, they're listed in Patanjali also. So. Because, Buddhism came out of yoga, right? This mystical yoga, Buddhism, it's kind of like Christianity came out of Judaism. Buddhism came out of Hinduism, but not Hinduism the way it is today, but the yoga Hinduism, this mystical, it's not a religion. It's, they would say they've studied cause and effect. And they've learned, do this, that happens. Do this, that happens. Do this, that happens. It's not a religion, this yoga that we're pulling from. Hinduism is a religion, right? We think of Buddhism as a religion when we, in some, anyway, that's going down another path, but did that answer? Yep. Okay. All right. There was something else I wanted to say about that. I don't know that this matters, but the list I gave you is the traditional, the traditional order of the list. And what I would encourage you to do is next to equanimity, put parentheses, sameness. But my teachers, Harvey and Ann, who, teach at Don Mountain, they say that, traditionally I gave you Harvey's list. Equanimity's comes first, but traditionally I think it goes compassion, love, sympathetic joy, and equanimity is listed last. Because when you've got all the rest, then you can kind of be that neutral witness at the top of the mountain, just seeing the perfection in everything. It's all, and there is vast equanimity. But Harvey's point was, we've got to find equanimity before we can even start doing that other stuff, right? And so Harvey teaches it the way I gave it to you first, which is let's get some equanimity in our lives. Let's meditate. Let's find some balance. Let's, you know, get a little bit of aso going. And then the other things come in. And so that may or may not have been of interest to some of you, but I just want to clarify. So,
well, it does for me, only just because my brain wants to do that. Which is funny at the retreat, by the way, that at the very beginning, and we were doing kind of qualities according to our sign, and I didn't really identify with, like, you know, numbers, and, but this is where that comes in as an Aquarian. I like knowing where things fit, you know, like, and so, like, at the retreat, these immeasurables, you had equanimity, the first one, love, the second one, compassion, the third one, sympathetic joy, the fourth one. But
okay, so you want the actual order. Yeah, you're right. I just gave them in any, I gave them random. So you now have the real order. Yes, you do.
Okay.
So Kathleen, what was so funny at the retreat, out of 28 people, there were 5 Aquarians and 5 Geminis. 10, right? And then who was the other one we had 5 of? 5 Leos.
Yeah.
Leos.
It was air and fire. And we only had 1 earth sign, our lovely Kelsey. No, we had 3 Capricorns and Kelsey. Yeah. But it was like, you were represented in full, you Aquarians, you. Yes. Yeah. So. All righty. So with the, okay, go ahead, Ramon. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Just one last question. The I in rain for Ripa, and I guess even for the regular rain, can we use that, that Tom Glenn technique for younger self to help us with that piece of it?
Okay. This is the Ripa one.
Yep.
Just happen to have it here, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And the Tom Glenn we did, I would put that under nurture.
Under, okay. Okay. It wouldn't
That's
go, okay.
A nurturing technique. Yeah.
Okay. The only reason I was thinking on the investigate was because you're trying to figure out where the first time you felt that sensation was as a child.
Yes. True. True, true.
So true. That's why I was saying, cause I was, that's the part that I probably would struggle with is, I mean, I would struggle with a lot of, but just the investigate would probably be a particular, the questions that I would ask myself. But if I am asking myself that question, I probably would more likely, I'm in a meditative state and I'm actually thinking, it's calm enough to actually go there.
That's a really good point. So that technique is actually an investigate nurture combination.
Okay.
It's a real smooth segue from allow to investigate to nurture. Wow. So that technique is actually the whole thing right there.
Yeah. 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 That's what I thought when we were doing it. I was just like, wow, it kind of took you through the whole thing. I was saying, well, the parts that I'm going to struggle with, this is perfect for it. Yeah.
That's all you need, more than my mind in here. Yeah. Exactly. That's the whole technique in one. Okay. Yeah. So what were your takeaways from the anxiety class? Don't call it anxiety class. The rest in peace anxiety class. Rest in peace. Rest in peace. Live without. Live without. What, I can't even believe you guys don't have any idea how much ground we covered because you were all in that class. We were able to go to places and cover things because the class actually was as wonderful as it was, partly because I knew you were all in it. And so I went places that I might not have gone without you in the class, you know, but I knew you were all in teacher training. So we just went there. But so what were your ahas or takeaways from that? Would you folks be willing to share? And if you didn't, I know that some of you haven't been to all the classes yet. That's okay. You still got something from it, you know?
There's just so many. I don't know where to start with.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'd have to go back. I'd taken so many notes. I had, you know, between this training and that class, so many onion layers and aha moments of this is, I don't even think I can pick one at the moment. So.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Yeah.
It's just, been that great. Yeah.
I'm having the same feeling as Kathleen. I think there's a lot. It was incredible. To me, it was incredible. There's just a lot of, it's hard to explain kind of, you know, how everything kind of fits together. But for me, it's helped me immeasurably at this point. And this is only, we only kind of hit the surface of it. I still haven't done a lot of the practices that I want to do. And, but yeah, there was a lot of valuable information. I think it fit. I didn't know how it was going to fit into this whole teacher training thing, but it actually, it kind of made a lot of sense that it fit into it. But there's a lot of techniques and a lot of things that were in there that were incredible teachings. And it all kind of fell into right into the stuff that we were doing in the teacher training. So, I mean, I'd have to write, I actually would probably want to write something up so that to summarize because yeah. It's way too much to just speak about.
Oh, that's a really good idea. Well, that's a really good idea. That is actually a really good idea. That's a really good idea. I'm not going to assign it per se.
I'll do it.
But what would be really helpful to all of us, I think, because I mean, we got to just look at you. This is our group. The RIPA class was a core piece of your training. So I look at you as the teachers who are going to help carry this into whatever its next incarnations are. So what was your, if you could write up your, the impact it had on you, because that's what you can bring to other people. So what was the impact that had on you? And for many of you, it was personal, but others of you are working with other people. At the same time, you're working with your kids or a spouse, right? And so what is the impact it's had on you personally? And maybe how has it helped you in working with someone else? And I don't know if you all saw Lisa sent a chat that said, I would like more practice with others like you and Nat did yesterday. So powerful. And I'd like to be more proficient in this back and forth. Yeah. Maybe when we, well, let me think on that. Let me see. Maybe what we'll do is once you're graduated, once we're complete, then we do a training for how to teach this. And this is part of the training is that kind of back and forth, you know? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. So. So would that be preferable than trying to talk about it now, but to give you guys a little more time? To think it through the process.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then on that note, here's what I'm going to do. I have a month off. I don't really have a month off. I have in that month, I have 2 weeks where I may not be one where I'm on personal retreat and one where I'm babysitting my grandchildren. But what I've decided to have you folks do during this month is, and it's pulling right out of all of this. Working with anxiety is not the first place we go with meditators. People wanting to meditate, you know, it's usually stress is what people come to meditation for. They're trying to alleviate stress. So what I'm going to do is have you, there's a program that's in the online program called Coping with Stress. And the last group of teachers, these meditations in the coping with stress are the ones they've used the most. And so I've laid it out. Let me see if I can share the screen. I'll show it to you. Let me pull this up and let me see if it changes screen. Nope. Nope. This one. Okay. So can you see this? Everybody see this? It was a 5-week program. A lot of this is repetition for you. So my recommendation is going to be to just listen. You know, there's nothing new here. It's just a different way, which is an important thing. It's a different way of saying the same thing with a different focus. Stress, which is not the same as anxiety. Does everybody follow that? It's not the same as anxiety. I'm seeing nods. Okay. So lesson one, orange juice analogy, and I'll get Darcy to, put up on your page. We did a Thanksgiving meditation. Was it April? Thanksgiving meditation. And I actually did an actual demo of the orange juice analogy, and it's on a video there, and we'll get Darcy when she gets back from vacation to put it up there. It's just like 4 or 5 minutes, but it's definitely worth watching. In lesson one, I talk about the orange juice analogy, and we do a body scan and an evening relaxation. This month, you guys think of this month as your opportunity to learn a few meditations. Okay. You've already started on your body scans. So by the end of this month, let's know that if you haven't already memorized your body scan, that you have a body scan meditation at your fingertips. If somebody says, hey, can we do a meditation? Can you lead us? You'll go, yeah, I know body scan. I can take them through a body scan, right? If you could learn one of these other, actually, I don't know that I want to put evening relaxation in there. You should all have an evening relaxation meditation that you already do. Let's put it that way, okay? That you could share with somebody in a moment's notice. The idea being that there's a body scan, which is very, very present, which is a little different than actually relaxing the body, okay? But then lesson two is what's your agenda? Lesson three is about resistance. Lesson four is opening to mystery. Lesson five is what is real. They're like 10 to 20 minute teachings, the bolded ones. I want you to listen to those and outline them. Okay. And then between all of you, somebody write up and memorize releasing your agenda. Somebody write up it is what it is. Somebody finding your symbol. Somebody surrender to mystery, although they go together. Somebody holding center. These meditations are, and I don't want you to memorize them necessarily the way I did them, but as the concept behind them. Because it's just kind of amazed me, but this is what the last teacher group ended up using in classes they taught or working one-on-one with other people. Because this is in a way almost more pervasive than some of the stuff we did in the RIPA class. Haha, I did it right. Okay. So on your own, you should outline these teachings, the five of them, just so you're not just listening, but you kind of write down the main points for you. And then what I'm going to ask you to do is to learn one of these. Well, you don't get not one and two. You already should have one and two, but of 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Hopefully between all the 10 of you, we'll have at least one person doing each one. And then what you're going to do is share your outline. So you don't have to outline all of them, but you will have an outline from each other and you will have memorized one. Does that make sense? That makes sense? Any questions on that? So we can either decide today and say, okay, that one sounds good. I'm going to do that one. Or if you like the idea of meeting, which we talked about at the beginning, over the month, you're more than welcome to come use this link and continue to just check in with each other on Saturday mornings or whenever. And at that point, decide between you, okay, I really resonate with this one. I'm going to do this one. This one I'm not getting. This one's really challenging for me. I'm going to do this one for whatever that reason. But see if between you, you can get all of them covered and then share as you write up the technique, share that. And you might end up with two or three versions of surrender to mystery or open to mystery. But that's okay. That's okay. So, and what I want to stress in this coping with stress module is that this is actually going to help bring everything together that we've done. This is not going to be, there's nothing new in here. Are you following me? There's nothing new. It's almost like a review. It's almost like a chance to digest and consolidate. And because when you hear something from a different perspective, even though it's the same thing, it helps it kind of chunk, chunk, chunk inside you a little better. So I think I'm being really, it's a way to keep you in the stream, not drop it all, but it's the intensity. It's a break. It's been really intense this 5 weeks, hasn't it? I mean, with the anxiety, with the RIP anxiety and your training, you guys have got to be exhausted. It's like, you know, it's like fire hose, a little much. And then the retreat. So it's like, okay, oh, but we don't want to drop it altogether, because I was really paying attention to what April said last time. And several of you have also mentioned it was a little too much. So any questions or thoughts on that? Brenda, yeah.
So this is going to disclose the fact that I have yet to do one. But can somebody share kind of what outline actually means? Like just taking notes, or I think outline, I'm sorry, I go to like step one, step, like, what is it? What does that mean?
For me, Brenda, it's trigger word. I just write down trigger words that will help me remember to go through the sequence. It doesn't have to be. So that's why it might be hard for somebody to read my outline as well, because my outlines are what syncs with me. But I'll try to get more specific. I would just go with what works for you. You don't have to, don't go back to high school and college.
I'm just thinking if somebody else is going to be looking at it, then it doesn't make sense.
But I love what Kathleen just said, because actually what's going to happen is, and it was of course one of our Capricorns who brought this up, but you know, everybody's going to outline in the way that works for them. When I outline meditations, I almost write them down verbatim, because I'm so tuned in to what is the nuance that person is trying to capture with that word. So I tend to, like, I'll still give an outline format, but it's not just trigger words. But trigger words, what the kind of outline Kathleen is talking about, is actually the kind of outline you can take with you into a class, because mm-hmm. what you want is just one page with boom, 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 those key concepts. And you want to get to where you're, if you're leading a meditation, you know, in Tonglen, okay, Tonglen, got to start with something, some kind of balance already in my heart, if possible, right? And okay, make sure I've got the Vajra in my heart. Okay, now what is the sensation? You know, what is the allow? What is the other people feel? Whatever the key pieces are, you've got them in your head. And if you write them down, the way Kathleen just suggested, that's actually going to be easier for you to remember. At the same time, those of you who outline more like I do, your outlines are going to be really, really valuable to people 2 years from now when they forgot what the trigger words were, what was all around them, right? So that's why I found last time around, it was a really lovely balance. It was a lovely balance between the cryptic outline, you know, the pithy people like, you know, Kathleen, and then the more verbal people like April. April might like just almost write out the meditation. It's like, thank you. Yes. You know, and so I'm with Kathleen on that one. Do what feels right to you. Don't go back to high school and college. Do what works for you right now to help you have the meditation there.
And my spelling is horrible, so I'm just telling that up front. So, you know, I own it and I don't care. So
go girl. We have some Capricorns who will correct the spelling and send out a new document. You watch. Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. So does that give you a sense of, okay, we're not dropping this all together, which on one hand, I really wanted a month off. On the other hand, oh my God, am I going to lose my momentum? I think this is a nice, lovely balance. We weren't going to do this one till the fall, but I think given what this intensity of what we've done, I think this is a better way to spend the break. It's stuff you already know. It's another way. You can just listen. I don't think you even have to watch them. You can just listen to them. They're really boring. I mean, there's nothing to watch. Let me tell you, this was years ago. I don't even have gray hair. You know, fuck, I'm wearing nail polish in some of them. It's like, Jesus Christ, right? This is, you're done in like 2012. And, you know, it's like, I didn't even know how to like move quickly because it's a video. It's like, I'm kind of in my zone. The guy who was videoing after months of this, he said, Karen, you got to remember this video. You got to move faster. You got to keep people interested. So I'm telling you up front, just listen. Don't even try and watch them. It's like, anyway, put it on in the car while you're driving her out, you know? Anyways, any other questions or thoughts? Oh, that was somebody just popped their head in.
So go ahead, Kelsey.
Yeah, my only question is like the divvying up of it. I just want to leave this class knowing like what is happening with that.
Okay, so we want to do that now?
Okay. I would rather just decide now so I don't have to.
Okay, that way, okay, let me come back to this.
Lisa already said what she wanted to do.
Which one?
She wants to do releasing the agenda.
Oh, God, I love you, Lisa. Exactly. Well, then I would have assigned it to you. Ooh, last time I assigned them to people. I'm not going to do that to you guys. Okay, let me do this. I'm going to actually, let me bop out of this. I'm going to go to my internet. I'm going to show you where to find these on your pay, on the online page. So now let me try and share this. Let me see if I can do this. Come on, Karen. You can do this. You can do this. Share screen. This one. Hopefully this will work. Let's see. Can you see this? Okay. So you're going to go to focus and you're going to choose. You're going to come down here. You're going to choose stress reduction. Can you see that? And you just go to the page. That's the easiest way to get here. And then once you're in here, you're going to scroll. Oh, wait, I'm on page 2. You're going to start on page 1. Let me know if the screen changes here. Did the screen change?
Yeah.
Okay, it doesn't always. Scroll down towards the bottom and you'll see coping with stress series number one. Orange juice analogy, 4 minutes, 49 seconds. You guys don't worry about these outlines. I've given you, I've already posted it on your page, all the outlines for these. So the outlines of what's covered in each class is kind of there. Now the outlines were made, it was partial live, partial support that when I taught this class. So it must have been 2011 or 2012. So, wow. I mean, I don't even have gray hair. So anyway, it was somewhere back in there. Let's go to page 2. So you've got coping with stress outline 1 and 2. Don't worry about that. You've got your own body scan meditation. I think you guys have already done that one. Let's go to page 2. And this is where the rest of it is. So evening relaxation meditation, you probably may have already tried it. If not, you should know something like this just for yourself. Now we've got series 2, which is the teaching, 13 minutes. Releasing your agenda is the meditation that goes with the teaching. Coping with stress 3, resistance. That's what each of you want to outline the teachings for yourself. Okay. And then series outline, just ignore it. Yours is better. It is what it is the class. No, is what it is a meditation. If it's got the lady with the headphones, it's a meditation. If it's got a picture of me, that's the teaching. With series number 4, it's called Open to Mystery. This is a powerful technique. There's a patterning to this technique that we will talk about in the fall that is very, very powerful. And we use it in different kinds of meditations. So finding your symbol is part 1 of the technique. Surrender to mystery is part 2 of the technique. Okay. And so, even though you may only be doing one of them, you will want to be familiar with both because they go together, kind of like, you know, potatoes and cheese, you know, I don't know. Welcome to my head. All right. Coping with stress number 5. What is real? What is real? What is real? The meditation that goes with this is holding center. Now, if you really, really, really want to, this next one right here, Corridors of Stillness, I did not put it on the page, but this is the best meditation of all time. So, if we want to add that, if somebody wants to take that one on, don't outline it. Outline it completely. Let's put it that way. Don't do a verbatim, but outline it very completely because the wording is very specific. This is one of the few that I actually probably bring notes with me too. I mean, they're cryptic, but Karen, what are you doing? Well, I'm going to tell you what I'm doing. This is the best meditation of all time. So let's add it in. Let's lump it in. And you guys get to do this one. It's a long one, but just put it on before you go to bed. Just listen to it. And it's like, oh my God. Or first thing in the morning, if you want to float through your day. Okay. So stop share. Those are the meditations. Which one of those, I'll read them out again. Let me find. No. Share screen. You guys, I haven't had any breakfast and I've had a cup of coffee. I'm a little bit, can you tell? Jesus, Karen.
Yeah.
You don't drink coffee.
I know, but you know, okay. Can I digress for a moment? My niece, who you met, Via, who, Kathleen, if you've ever gone to Tuesday night, you've met Via. She works at a coffee shop called Blue Bottle. It's like a big deal. It's like international. They do pour over only, right? You pour in the filter. She showed me how. So you put your cup and your cone on your little kitchen scale and you zero it out and you put in 23 grams of coffee. And then you pour in just 50 grams of water. And then you put another 100 and another. It's, oh my God. Oh my God. This is my third morning with coffee. Oh my God. But this is my last morning. I can't even tell you. I am in heaven. I love coffee. But after today, I will stop because I don't want to go back to migraines. But so yes, you're right. I don't drink coffee except today and yesterday, because there's nothing like drinking coffee with your niece, you know, and some of you understand how beautiful that is. So, okay. Yes.
Can I, do the quarters of stillness one? Is that?
Yes.
Okay. So it does get taken by somebody else. I just thought I'd speak right up.
Steve, I'm just delighted. I mean, that is my favorite meditation. It's the best. Okay, so Steve's taking the biggie.
So
all right. I was either going to take that one or the mystery, one of the mystery ones then, of course. Okay,
so Steve is quarters.
I'll take it is what it is.
Kathleen is one of the mysteries.
I can do this. If somebody wants to do the first one, I'll do the second one, or I'll do them both. I don't care.
I want to surrender.
Kathleen, you know what? To be honest, for you, I think you should do them both because I think you use this a lot.
Okay.
You use this a lot. Okay. This is right up your alley. Okay. Right. So do you mind just doing both?
Yep. I'll do both.
Okay. So Kathleen is doing both mysteries. Okay.
Can you put back up on the screen what they are?
Yes.
And April, what did you just take?
Well, I was going to say it is what it is, but unless somebody.
There are the meditations. Can you see them right here? Meditations to watch, listen, outline, learn one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So well, April, go ahead, Brenda.
Well, there's 10 of us, so we're going to double up, right?
You are. Yes.
Yeah. I want the agenda, please.
Yeah. And that's what, Lisa Pruzek also took releasing my agenda, right? So that's Brenda and Lisa. Okay.
How fitting, Lisa.
Oh, that's so true.
Truly. Yeah. Okay. Somebody needs holding center.
I can
Laura had her hand up too.
Who?
Laura had her hand up.
For which?
Can I do finding your symbol?
Yes. That's a good one for you, Laura. Actually, Laura, that's a great one for you. I oh my God. The thought that went through my head was, oh my God, now they're wondering, why did she say that? Why did she say that? Okay. So Laura is finding your symbol. Ramona and Kelsey, I thought I heard your voices, but I didn't hear what you said.
Go ahead, Ramona.
I'll do whichever one. I'll do holding center. I'm probably going to end up doing a lot of these anyway on the side anyway, because I like having the outlines. Makes it easier to understand for me.
I'm with you. Yeah. Kelsey, what about you?
I'm leaning towards the surrender to mystery.
Do it.
Do it.
Okay. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Okay. So let's let Lisa and Agnieszka choose, because I think we've got all of them covered now. We've got holding center, finding your symbol. We've got surrender to mystery. We've got releasing your agenda. We've got it is what it is. And Steve's taking on quarters of stillness, and Kathleen's, okay, we're good. We're good.
You need body scan and evening relaxation still.
Well, theoretically, you already have body scans. Remember, we did that in the very beginning. So theoretically, we should have those already.
Yeah.
But did I don't remember doing evening relaxation as part of this training. Did I miss something?
No. But it's not, to me, it's,
I mean, I've done it before. I just haven't done it in a long time. I haven't done it as part of this at all.
My thought is, it's a really good one for you to have in your back pocket. But it doesn't have to be that exact meditation, right? It's just something along those lines. So my offer up to you is that each of you listen to it and go, oh, what of this would work for me to just help me at the end of the day, just settle in short before I go to bed.
Is it something this came up yesterday that could be used like before you leave the office? Is it that short that you could just drop your day or in your car before you walk in your house type thing?
One of them I did talks about settling and opening up to the dreams. And I don't know if this is that one.
Okay.
So let's listen to it and see.
Oh, okay.
Definitely, you know, that idea of a transition.
Yeah.
It might be because it's definitely transitioning from daytime to nighttime, which is a transition.
So it might be going to dream time.
It might be going to dream time. Yeah. But I know that might be the longer one. Yeah. So, all right. Well, Kelsey, we did it. April. Yeah.
So as far as maybe like, I know for me personally, it would be really helpful to even in like, I don't know. Yeah. At some point during this month to meet back up, even just to, I don't know, maybe practice doing some practicing together. Anyway, I don't know if that would be part of, if anybody else is open to that, but, I definitely would love to meet back up with the group while we're gone. So how to kind of organize that? I don't know.
What if? I mean, if this time works, trying to find another time you can work that one out on your app. But what if one possibility would be I could ask Darcy to schedule these reminders for the next 4 weeks on Saturday mornings. And then whoever can show up on that Saturday morning shows up.
You mean Sunday?
Oh yeah, it's Sunday. You're right. I'm lost in my little bliss place. Yeah, Sunday mornings. And then if you want, you could also just, you know, you guys come up with another time. But that way, if Darcy sends a link, it's just a little reminder Sunday morning. Oh, I could pop on and you guys can talk about these. You can talk about anything you want. You could, you know, there's still that list of questions I gave you guys at the end of the summer. Mm-hmm. You know, just about the different techniques. What do you could go through those. You know, would that be simplest to just have Darcy send the link out rather than right now try and find a new time?
Yeah, I think it would be almost a nightmare trying to find a new time that worked for everybody.
Yeah.
But that seems like we could just, you know, pretend like it's ongoing. And then if we can make it, we make it.
Okay, then let's do that. I'll make a note here to make sure I have Darcy do that. Darcy, schedule links. Okay. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give us another break till the hour, and then we're going to come back and we'll do a half hour. I got couple last things to cover in the last half hour. How's that sound? Okay. All right, folks. All right. See you in whatever it is, 6. Okay.